Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. Thank you all for coming. The theme of this festival is the opulence and sweetness of Krishna. We hope that while you're here, you'll become absorbed in that and take home with you a wonderful, inspiring time in Krishna consciousness. And we'll have morning and evening programs, and during the day, I'm sure everyone is eager to fraternize with each other. And we'll probably have some Harinams during the day in Talpa. Massive Harinams. hopefully when Kalasambhar comes, he can organize that. Is he here?
No, not today, tomorrow.
Huh?
Not today, tomorrow.
And we have Jananda Prabhu coming Monday, and still, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj may pop in. So, and you all are here, of course. So please absorb yourselves in chanting and dancing. Try to improve your chanting during the morning program, during the morning japa. Especially those of you who don't live in ashrams, these festivals are a great time to see how indeed you can concentrate more on the holy name when chanting. This festival is an opportunity for you all to become more inspired in devotional service, more inspired in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. What other attractions do we have? One night we'll have a DVD of the history of ISKCON in Ukraine. Another night we'll have a DVD, hour-long DVD on the Ganga. And, of course, there'll be lots of kirtan. Lots of chanting. Try to go deeper in your Krishna consciousness during this gathering. Please try to do that. Try to interact with devotees so that you'll go deeper. Of course, there's always lighthearted relations, but at the same time, try to go deeper, become more inspired in your Krishna consciousness. So tonight we're going to begin our theme of the opulence and sweetness of Krishna by turning to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila chapter 21. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Thank you. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Go Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Go Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Go Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We're reading from chapter 21, the opulence and sweetness of Lord Sri Krishna. Tonight we'll discuss the opulence, the Aishvarya Saga, the ocean of opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While discussing these topics, Lord Chaitanya's mind would become overwhelmed by these opulences. Let us try to, as much as we can, enter into some understanding. This is the first verse. Agache kagatin nakta.
Agache kagatin nakta.
Inakthadhika sadhakam.
Inakthadhika sadhakam.
Sri Chaitanyam lukam yasya.
Sri Chaitanyam lukam yasya.
Madhurya Aishvarya Sikaram.
Madhurya Aishvarya Sikaram.
Agatye Kagatin Nukta.
Agatye Kagatin Nukta.
Inarthajika Sadakam.
Inarthajika Sadakam.
Sri Chaitanyam Nukam Yasya.
Sri Chaitanyam Nukam Yasya.
Madhurya Aishvarya Sikaram.
Madhurya Aishvarya Sikaram.
Agatye kagatin naptva.
Agatye kagatin naptva.
Inakthajika sadhakam.
Inakthajika sadhakam.
Sri Chaitanyam lakam yasya.
Sri Chaitanyam lakam yasya.
Madhurya Aishvarya sikaram.
Madhurya Aishvarya sikaram.
Agatye kagatin natva.
Agatye kagatin natva.
Agatye kagatin natva.
Bhagavati Ekagatim. To the only shelter for the conditioned souls. Who do not know the goal of life. Nukta. Offering obeisances. Hina Artha. Of the necessities of the conditioned souls. Who are poor in spiritual knowledge. Adhika. Increase. Sadhakam. Bringing about. Sri Chaitanyam. Unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lakami. I am writing. Asya. Of him. Madhurya Aishwarya. Of the sweetness and opulence. Shikaram. A small portion. Translation. Offering my obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me describe a particle of his opulence and sweetness. He is most valuable for a fallen conditioned soul, bereft of spiritual knowledge, and he is the only shelter for those who do not know the real goal of life. Om Yajivadam Dasya Gitanjana Shlakaya Chakshu Vitanyena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nana Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We'll read about 12 verses. There'll be some purports. First, let us reflect upon this overture of the chapter by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he starts in this way. Very dramatic, powerful opening to each chapter to give you some taste of what is to come. That is culture. First you give a little taste to whet the appetite, and then the person is ready to feast. So, you can learn all artistic presentation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. What to speak of learning the ecstasies of real Vaishnava relationships. He offers his obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and attempts to describe just a particle of his opulence and sweetness. You're going to hear about this in the coming verses, how it is not possible to fully describe the opulences of Lord Krishna. How can that be? You'll hear how the greatest personalities in the universe can't get to the end of Krishna's qualities, Krishna's opulences. So what about you? You'll be able to see yourself in context, which is very important for every living entity. See yourself as how small you really are. Otherwise, you imagine, oh, I'm so big and important. My own way, of course. Not that I'm not humble, but at the same time, I'm very big and important. When you hear about Krishna's opulences, then you realize, what is this bhakti yoga? What am I in contact with? Kaviraj Goswami describes Lord Chaitanya as most valuable for a fallen conditioned soul bereft of spiritual knowledge. This is the normal situation in Kali Yuga. Everyone is fallen. As we've often explained, people don't even know the proper standard of being a human being, what to speak of being a transcendentalist. So much work, so much energy, so much time we have to spend just to get people to act like human beings. That means no intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling. Then on top of that, we're trying to provoke them to come onto the spiritual platform through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. There's no doubt in this age of Kali, the situation is people are completely fallen. They have no real spiritual knowledge at all. Even when they have vague interests in spirituality, they have no understanding. as Lord Chaitanya can do. We don't put others down. We just put Lord Chaitanya up. What can we do when Lord Chaitanya gives the most comprehensive understanding of love of God? Not only does he teach it, but he demonstrates it. He himself. He's Krishna as a devotee. And he himself demonstrates how to drown in the ocean of love of God. He teaches it and he demonstrates. He says, Prabhus, this is how you drown in the ocean of love of God. You do this, you do that, you do that. And then he does it himself. He drowns. What more do you want? It's like so many of you have told me how much you've benefited by Atmananda Prabhu's yoga course. So he's teaching, and then he can demonstrate. Everyone is satisfied. Yes, it is possible. Someone is doing it. It can be done. Now, Lord Chaitanya does this about the most esoteric, confidential, mystical subject matter, pure love of God. He explains the theory. He explains the philosophy. He tells you all the different stages, all the symptoms of ecstatic love of God. And then he himself drowns in the ecstatic ocean of love of God. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami's conclusion is, if you want to be logical, if you want to be analytical, apply your powers of logic and analysis to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. You'll never find anything like it. You can approach Lord Chaitanya with your sentiments. You can approach Lord Chaitanya with your logic and analysis. Either way, you'll agree. There's nothing like this. Never been anything like this. We don't say, just believe. We say, follow Lord Chaitanya, drown with him in the ocean of love of God. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami is saying, let me just describe a particle of his opulence and sweetness. He knows better than to say, I'm going to give you everything. So let me give you just a particle. And then, the position of living entities in Kali Yuga is described very nicely, in case you didn't have any doubts. He is most valuable for a fallen conditioned soul, bereft of spiritual knowledge. And he is the only shelter for those who do not know the real goal of life. All those who are thirsty for spiritual knowledge, genuine spiritual knowledge, and all those who do not know the real goal of life, you are perfect candidates for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He is the most valuable asset for such a person. Then naturally, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami gives his glorification of the Panchatattva. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he's speaking, describing the spiritual world. He's going to give you a tour of the spiritual world. Maybe some of you here have not been to Taupo before. Who here has never been to Taupo before? Raise your hands. So at least half of you. So you'd be interested. What's to this place? I'm sure you've gone up to the hill and looked down on the lake and the city or something like that. Where are we? What's it like? That looks pretty good. You looked at the water and you're wondering, yeah, I'd like to experience some of that. So, Lord Chaitanya is giving you a tour of the spiritual world. He's provoking your interest. What is the first thing he said in text 3? All the transcendental forms of the Lord are situated in the spiritual sky. In other words, if you're looking for the transcendental forms of the Lord, you should know their resonance is the spiritual world. Everyone has a resonance somewhere. and the Supreme Lord has his residence. All his forms reside in the spiritual world. They preside over spiritual planets in that abode, for there is no counting those Vaikuntha planets. And then you get in the next verse you get a very poetic way of saying, you can't measure a Vaikuntha planet. You can read that there. That's a nice way of saying, don't try to calculate. The breadth of each Vaikuntha planet is described as 8 miles, multiplied by 100, by 1,000, by 10,000, by 100,000, by 10 million. In other words, each Vaikuntha planet is expanded beyond our ability to measure. How can you measure something that's not material? Where are the scientific instruments to measure the spiritual energy? Can you measure the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra? Can you measure the potency of just one holy name of Krishna recited? There's no scientific instrument for that, because you're not dealing with matter. Let us continue in our tour given by Lord Chaitanya. We should meditate on these descriptions he's giving, and these descriptions will break down our material conceptions. Each Vaikuntha planet is very large, and each is made of spiritual bliss. Ananda Chinmaya Sadhu Jvala Vigrasya Govinda Mari Purusham Tam Mahamajami. The Lord's body is made of transcendental bliss, and so is his abode. The material world is the home of the material body. The spiritual world is the home of the spiritual body, the spirit soul. There's no difference, as you know, between the spiritual body and the spirit soul. But here in the material world, there's a difference between the body and the self. Not in the spiritual world. The body is the self. So if you want to be your body, you go to the spiritual world. Don't do it here. Here you get so much misery trying to be your body. And Maya makes it look so promising. It makes it look so natural to be your body, to please your body. But it's only a perverted dream. And sooner or later, and often it's sooner, you get kicked in the face. And then you forget so easily. You moan, you lament for a few weeks, a month, maybe a couple of years. Then you forget. That's the nature of living in the material world, forgetfulness. You've got to get that understanding down. Don't you wonder sometimes how you suffered so much before, and then after a few years you forget. And again, the same thing was attractive to you. You ever wonder about that? That's because of the power of the material energy to cause forgetfulness. Don't underestimate this potency of Maya to cause you to forget. Don't trust the material energy. Don't be lulled to sleep. I don't remember anymore how I suffered, so it must be all right now. You have to protect yourself with the Shastra, which will always keep your intelligence razor sharp. Krishna's body is purely spiritual, and the Vaikuntha planets are composed of Ananda Chinmaya, pure spiritual happiness. That is the composition. You want to know what the spiritual world is made of. The inhabitants are all Krishna Parishad. They're all associates of the Supreme Lord. Just like if you live in New Zealand, all the Kiwis are your associates. You live in Australia, all the Aussies are your associates. You live in the spiritual world, then everyone is associate of Krishna. The inhabitants are all associates of the Supreme Lord, and they have full opulence like the Lord himself. This is how the Vaikuntha planets are all situated. Now, what is the relationship of the Vaikuntha planets to the spiritual sky? You get some way to approximate. This is another polite way of telling you can't measure, you can't figure it out. Since all the Vaikuntha planets are located in a certain corner of the spiritual sky, who can measure the spiritual sky? In other words, you can't measure a Vaikuntha planet. And all the Vaikuntha planets are located in a certain corner of the spiritual sky. So how can you measure the spiritual sky itself? Give up. Give up your mundane calculations. Give up your mundane pride in how much you can understand. And simply try to understand Krishna to the best of your capacity, knowing you're just getting a drop. It's not that you give up trying to understand, but you give up thinking that you are so powerful you can understand everything. Later you're going to hear that Brahma and Shiva, the topmost personalities in the cosmos, they can't understand fully. So why should you think you can? At the same time, you should try to understand according to your humble capacity. Sometimes people have this misunderstanding. Oh, God is so great, don't even try to understand it. That's not proper. God is so great, and you'll never be able to understand Him completely. But try your best to your fullest capacity. Be humble about it. That is proper. Now we get an artistic vision of the appearance of the spiritual world. How does it look? The shape of the spiritual sky is compared to a lotus flower. The topmost region of that flower is called the world, and within that world is Krishna's abode. The petals of the spiritual lotus flower consist of many Vaikuntha planets. Now, what does your material intelligence say? Ah, that can't be true. Sounds too beautiful to be true. But if we say, the shape of the spiritual sky is like a big city like Auckland, then, now I understand. There are telephone poles and streetlights. Okay, this is for me. And then if you have money, what do you try to do? You try to make your home a very beautiful artistic place. Before you took up Krishna consciousness and realized that real opulence is spiritual, many of you had material ambitions. I want a beautiful home, perfectly designed, personally designed for me. Then, when you hear about Krishna's abode, the whole spiritual sky is compared to lotus flower. And the center of that lotus flower is Krishna's abode. And the petals of that spiritual lotus flower are the many Vaikuntha plants. Your mind rejects. Why does your mind reject? Because you're envious. I don't live there, so it's got to be mythological. Since I'm not living in a place like that, it can't be true. But every one of you would love to live in the perfectly artistic place of aesthetic beauty, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Artist. That's where He lives. So why, out of envy, should your mundane intelligence reject it just because you don't have it? Each Vaikuntha planet is full of spiritual bliss, complete opulence and space, and each is inhabited by incarnations. If Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot estimate the length and breadth of the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets, how can ordinary living entities begin to imagine them? Once again, in other words, be humble. Understand you're outclassed. If the greatest brains, the greatest intellects in the material world can't understand the length and breadth of the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets. How can you do it? Admit you're overwhelmed. Nevertheless, go on hearing about this transcendental subject matter. Not, well, so far beyond this, what's the point of hearing about it? No. Admit humbly it's so far beyond you, but go on hearing about it. Vaikuntha Katha, night and day. Now we're going to turn to a verse spoken by Lord Brahma in 10th Canto of Bhagavatam. It's quoted here in Chaitanya Charitamrita because, as we've explained several times, Chaitanya Charitamrita takes the cream of verses from all over these shastras and puts them in such an extraordinary context. As Lord Chaitanya was speaking, he would quote from Bhagavatam, from so many transcendental scriptures. In this way, the sweetness, the nectar is increased because you get gems from so many different topmost Vaishnava scriptures. Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman. Yogeshwarottir Bhavatas Trilokyam Pravakatam Vakati Vakareti Vistarayan Kridasi Yogamaya Sobeti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman
Sobeti Bhuman Bhagavan
Yogeshwaro Tira Bhavatas Trilokya Kvavakatam Vakati Vakareti Vistarayan Kridasi Yogamaya Poveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman
Poveti Bhuman Bhagavan
Yogeshwaro Tira Bhavatas Trilokya Vakatam Vakati Vakareti Vistarayan Kridasi Yogamaya. This is Lord Brahma praying to Krishna after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. When Brahma decided to test, who is this cowherd boy in Vrindavan? Is he really the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Let me just make a little empirical investigation. And then, as you know, Krishna bewildered him completely. Afterwards, Brahma offered wonderful prayers in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. And now, Lord Chaitanya is presenting one of those prayers. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in all these worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing your pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of these activities. A devotee is always in a state of loving wonder, hearing the opulences of the Lord. Of course, later, let me give you a warning, later you're going to find out that the sweetness of Lord Krishna overpowers understanding of his opulences, and that's what's going to be demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya. First, he's going to show, as he's describing Krishna's opulences, how to become inundated by the Aishwarya Saga, the ocean of opulences of the Lord. And then, he's going to change and begin to talk about Krishna's sweetness, and his mind will become overwhelmed in that way. In this way, we get a chance to taste the Aishvarya, and the Madhurya, the opulence and the sweetness. Krishna, in his original form, Swayam Bhagavan, specializes in sweetness. Sweet loving exchanges. Who can understand how, where, and why, and when you're employing your spiritual energy and performing your pastimes? You've heard the expression in the material world that you can't satisfy all the people all the time. But Krishna can satisfy all his different types of devotees all the time. How he does that, you can't understand. But he's able to understand all the different types of devotees with their particular tastes at the suitable time. That is the expertise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Countless devotees with different tastes and proclivities, different attachments to different forms of the Supreme Lord, to different pastimes. And the Supreme Lord can satisfy them all perfectly at the most suitable time. So indeed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is someone who can satisfy everyone all the time. He is the only one who can do that. He's described as the master of all mystic power, Yogeshvara. Sometimes the Lord is known as Yogeshvareshvara, the master of the masters of mystic power. You all see persons have different abilities. People have different powers. Even different species of life have different powers. Fish can breathe underwater through their gills. You can't breathe underwater. This is a mystic power. Birds can fly. You can't flap your arms and fly. That's mystic power. Once you start to see nature in this way, then you can understand that power comes from a person. So many creatures have mystic power. Mosquitoes can bite you and suck your blood. You don't have that power. You ever heard frogs at night? Can you make a sound like that? I was in South Africa at the Durban Temple, and they have a moat surrounding the temple there. And at night, all the frogs in the neighborhood come and gather around the moat. And they were making such a sound. It was like thunder in the background. I couldn't understand, where is the sound coming from? So I asked Krishna Gata, he was traveling at the time, what is that sound? What's all that huge noise in the background? He said, oh, Guru Maharaj, I couldn't believe this loud sound going on and on. So I ran outside the temple to see what it was. And then these frogs started jumping up on my legs. It's the frogs. Simply the frogs are making this sound. I couldn't believe it. Any of you ever heard a chorus of frogs before? How can such little creatures make such a huge sound? This is mystic power. So you start to look at nature in this way, seeing how different creatures have different mystic powers. And then you can understand that there is Yogeshvara. Yogeshvareshvara, the master of the masters of mystic power. Krishna has unlimited potency. You have a little bit of potency to do this, a little bit of potency to do that, but Krishna has unlimited potency. Once you start looking in this way, with trained vision, then you're well on your way to having some understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the personality who has unlimited mystic power. You have a little bit of mystic power. Every creature does. But there is one who has it all, unlimitedly. this way, you can easily see that to be an atheist is quite foolish. Because any ordinary observation of nature will reveal different powers, different abilities, different capacities. People like powers. If you go up on the hill and you look, can you see people in their speedboats on the water? Some of them even have these, one of these things you, one person gets on them and you know, jet, what? Jet ski. Any of you ever been on a jet ski before? Yeah. So it's a power. And you feel it. And you feel good about yourself. Just see what I'm doing. I was watching. You know, this guy would, you know, he would be on his jet ski and then he would take a sharp turn and he would fall off into the water and just get him back up and do the same thing again. And thinks he's enjoying this power that he has, his jet ski. He can do things. Of course, after a while, you get bored. How long can you be on a jet ski before you get tired of it? But at first, it's exhilarating. You're going at high speed over the water. You feel powerful. Then other people have their boats. Who has the biggest boat? That's always. You know, it's never a boat drives by, you know, pulled by a car, everyone looks. How big is it? How new is it? Part of the what is that sound? At least it's not frogs. So people, they like to show off in their boats. They want to show you, I have power. I have the power to buy this expensive boat. I have the power to drive this boat. You watch. It's very revealing into Kiwi psychology if you want to study. Those of you who are visiting from Australia, you can study your neighbors. You know, boat power is a big psychological trick. So everyone wants to show off some power. When you go onto the streets in Taupo, chanting, you'll see so many young men and young women going around sporting their potency, their power. The ladies want to show their power to attract, to allure. That's a display of mystic potency. And the men want to show they have the power to be allured. Yes, attract me, sure. Allure me, any time. Where, when? Allure me. That's a power, that's a potency. I've got the power to be allured. You've got the power to allure me. This is all demonstration of various potencies. Try to see it that way. Don't just look at things dully. Try to understand what's going on. Every creature has mystic power. And each creature flaunts mystic power. It's like a peacock. Peacock feathers, the male peacock spreads its feathers, making a big show to attract a female peacock. That is mystic potency. You can't do that. You don't have any feathers. No men here have feathers to do like a peacock does. So instead of, you know, spreading your plume, you've got to, you know, do things like, you know, show how competent you are. So show off your expertise in dealing with the material energy. It's all the same principle, though. Show your mystic power. Show your stuff. So this is common throughout all species. Now, why do you suddenly become Why do your ears become clogged when you hear that Krishna has such powers unlimitedly? This is common sense analysis, how you can understand the Supreme Personality of God, Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic powers. And what is Krishna's greatest mysticism? That he can appear within the material world and never become contaminated by matter. As a practicing devotee, you know how difficult it is sometimes because of the material energy pushing on you, dragging you, trying to bewilder you. You've got to always be pushing upstream with the power of the holy name. When you become slack in your spiritual habits, the material energy overruns you. The material energy is a problem. Admit it. It's a problem. You can handle the problem by striving the right means. But Krishna has no problem whatsoever when he comes to the material world. Therefore, Lord Brahma is saying, no one can understand the mystery of your lila, of your activities. How you can display your loving affairs within the material world, and there's not one drop, not the slightest drop of material contamination. That is mystic power. The Lord, his presence is everywhere. Still, he's not diminished in his opulences. You would think that if someone is spread everywhere, they become diminished. But not Krishna. He is everywhere, but he doesn't lose his potency in any way. He doesn't become diluted. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that only because the Lord manifests his all spiritual form in the material world, can you understand the difference between matter and spirit? Think about that. Only because the Lord manifests his spiritual form in the material world do you have a chance to understand truly the difference between matter and spirit. By Krishna showing his form, you can understand. This is different. This is not matter. There's something else besides matter. How can there be a spiritual body, spiritual form, performing spiritual activities with spiritual associates? There must be something else besides matter. That you can understand this difference is Krishna's mercy. By his appearance, he's enabling you to do that. But think about it. It's not that you understand that there's a spiritual energy, and then, only because of that, you understand there's Krishna's spiritual form. No, Krishna makes it easy for you. First, understand his spiritual form, that his body is not material. Then you accept, ooh, this spiritual energy, of course. Everything depends on the form of the Lord. This is a bit subtle. I'm stating it simply, but it's actually a very subtle point. All depends on the form of the Lord. Not that there's the spiritual energy, there's the spiritual world, and then there's the form of the Lord. No, the form of the Lord is the sinusoid. It's the central point of everything. Therefore, Krishna protests in Bhagavad Gita that fools criticize him when he comes to this material world and say he has a material body. By their doing that, they are nullifying their easy chance to understand the spiritual energy. That's why Krishna protests. Avajananti mamuda manasam tanamashrita. He also says, those who are unintelligent think first I was impersonal, then I became a person. Krishna speaks so clearly in Bhagavad Gita. He allows you to understand his spiritual form. Aja upisan avihatma. Although I am Aja, unborn. Although I am the Lord of all living entities. Although my transcendental body has no deterioration, no depletion. I am the Lord of all living entities, but still I appear in this material world in my original transcendental form, and I come my way through my own personal methodology, which has nothing to do with the material energy. It's purely spiritual. Prakritam Samadhisthaya Sammamaya Mamaya. I've got my Atmamaya, my personal, all-spiritual mechanism for appearing in the material world. Let's go on. The spiritual qualities of Krishna are also unlimited. Great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four Kumaras cannot estimate the spiritual qualities of the Lord. You see, this is how an intelligent person presents an argument. You refer to the appropriate personalities. So-and-so can't do it. That one can't do it. He can't do it. So what about you? You can't do it. This is how to be humble. You understand that there are personalities in this universe far more powerful than you. Still, they cannot understand. They can't estimate the spiritual qualities of the Supreme Lord. Then once again, we go to Brahma's prayers. In the 14th chapter of the 10th canto,
Gunatmanaste pi gunandamatum. Itabatirnasya kaisharesya. Kalena yarva vinita sukalpa. Bhupam shavate mihita jivasa. Gunat manaste pi gunan vimatum. Hetavatirnasya kaisharesya. Kalena yaiva vinita sukalpaya. Bhupam savate mihita jivasa. Gunatmanaste pi gunandamatum.
Gunatmanaste pi gunandamatum.
Tathavatirnasya kaisharesya.
Tathavatirnasya
kaisharesya. Kalena yaiva vimitasukalpaya.
Kalena yaiva vimitasukalpaya.
Bhupam savate mihita jivasa.
In time, great scientists may be able to count all the atoms of the universe, all the stars and planets in the sky, and all the particles of snow. But who among them can count the unlimited transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He descends on the surface of the globe for the benefit of all living entities. In other words, you may do the impossible and figure out the material world minutely. You may do the impossible and count all the atoms of the universe, all the stars and planets in the sky, all the particles of snow. Still, if you could do that impossible thing, that impossible material thing, still you would not be able to count the unlimited transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of God. Now, the Acharyas explain that there are incarnations of the Lord who can indeed count all the atoms in the universe. There are incarnations of the Lord who indeed can count all the particles of snow, and indeed all the stars and planets. But still, even these incarnations of the Lord, like Sankarshan, Ananta Shesh, they cannot count all of Krishna's qualities. This is humbling. This is putting everything in context. This is such a great benediction. You can see the full picture. You can get the full gamut of the spiritual and material world and see how insignificant you are and how unlimited Krishna is. Such valuable information Lord Chaitanya is giving. You can see your place in the cosmos. Truly. Rather than just saying, oh, I belong to the universe, we are all the cosmos. And you know nothing about the cosmos. How can you know about the cosmos from persons with limited senses? Even though the cosmos is limited, it is far beyond the range of limited human intelligence. Therefore, the so-called laws of nature that scientists teach you now, they're all based on their limited understanding. Because their senses are limited. Basically, they're saying, let us give you laws of nature that are as true as far as we can see. Right now. What Lord Chaitanya is giving you is a view of the scope of the universe, material and spiritual, from the viewpoint of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the most powerful personalities under Him. This is rare. This is precious. This is priceless. And you're reminded while you're getting that understanding that no one can count the glories of the Lord. You're reminded. He descends on the surface of the globe for the benefit of all living entities. How is Krishna benefiting you? If it is so, he descends on the surface of the globe for the benefit of everyone. Where's your benefit? You're getting it right now. You can chant the holy name. You can dance. You can hear the science of God. You can engage all your senses in the devotional service of the Lord. In this way, you're benefited. What more benefit could there be? Kaviraj Goswami goes on. To say nothing of Lord Brahma, even Lord Ananta, who has thousands of heads, cannot reach the end of the Lord's transcendental qualities, even though he is continuously chanting their praises. So we'll stop there for tonight in our discussion of the Aishvarya Saga, the ocean of opulences. Let me remind you that the ocean of sweetness is coming. This is the full experience of God consciousness, love of God. You learn to appreciate the Aishvarya, the opulence, and the Madhurya, the sweetness. And Lord Chaitanya particularly comes to give you the confidential taste of the Madhurya, the sweetness. But he doesn't overlook the Aishvarya. He doesn't overlook the opulence. He's explaining. And indeed, he shows you how to become overwhelmed by the opulence. But then the Madhurya, the sweetness, is going to take over and supersede even that. That is the special contribution of Lord Chaitanya. Any questions while the band personnel are setting up, sitting in their positions? Hint. No questions? Stunned by the opulences of the world. It's Mahavan here, or is he ailing? Is he going to emerge? Okay. Preparing for tomorrow. Okay. Question? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, can you talk about the difference between the beauty of the residence and the beauty of the Lord?
Difference between
the beauty of the residence of Vaikuntha and the Lord himself?
What do you mean?
Because they have the same form. So what is the difference in
the same form?
In Vaikuntha?
Who has the same form? The residence.
Yes.
Oh, she said residence. Residence. Okay. There's an opulence known as Sarupya, in which you can have the same form as Lord Narayan. But you're not Lord Narayan. You have the same form. Yes, you can be as beautiful as Lord Narayan. But even Lord Narayan can't be as beautiful as Lord Krishna. Even Lord Narayan is attracted to Krishna's beauty. What to speak of Lakshmi Devi and the consort of Lord Narayan. That is one of the special qualities of Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead. Unparalleled beauty. Beauty that even Lord Narayan is dazzled by. Any else?
Can you attain a Swarupa form of Lord Krishna?
Can you what?
Can you have a Swarupa form of Lord Krishna? You can have both.
You cannot be Shyam Sundar. You cannot have a form of Shyam.
But you can be have a Swarupa similar to Lord Narayan.
You can look like Lord Narayan. Still, there's certain things Lord Narayan has you can't have. You can't have the Kastuba Jam, you can't have the Srivat's curl of hair on your chest. But you can have unlimited devotional service. The goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha, they sweep the palaces. Why are they sweeping the palaces? We discussed that a month ago. There's no dirt in Vaikuntha. There's no dust. But they're sweeping the palaces and the walls and the ceilings and the floor just to attract the attention of Lord Narayan. That you can do.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that Uddhava was looking almost like Krishna. Some gopis have instructions for
almost. Temporarily, they. Very temporary. Anything else? Yes?
Well, Guru Maharaj, you talked about how the material world causes us to forget the pains of the experience.
The nature of the material world is forgetfulness, not enlightenment.
And you mentioned that we can avoid that by having sharp sadhana. And sometimes in order to do practical or some other practical services, we may let off sadhana. But we may not read 2 hours every day for 4 days.
And then you have to catch up.
But can Ma suddenly just jump in there if you just let one day go past? Like you have to have razor sharp every single day?
Always make sure you're engaged in devotional service and you don't leave any opening for the material energy. And you must have the proper blend of hearing and chanting. That is what powers all the other activities in devotional service. The point is you have to know how to catch up. Maybe 2 days you don't do your hearing and chanting, as much as you like, because busy, it happens. But then, another day comes, you make up for it all. You have to know how to replenish yourself. What happens if you don't eat for a whole day? You make up for it at the feast, don't you? Here's an example of regular, just there. How many of you, when you have a fast all day like Gaur Purnima or Janmashtami, you say, well, because I didn't eat anything all day, at the time of the feast, I'll just eat a little. Does anyone think like that? No. You, Daniel, you say you do?
Yeah. That's
right. That'll change for them. You're just becoming acquainted with the glories of prasad. When you haven't eaten all day, then you want to make up for it. So similarly, there are days when you're so busy doing some practical things for Krishna, you may not read as much as you like, but make up for it. Otherwise you become undernourished, malnutritioned. Yes. You mean if you don't see the material body of your beloved, you might not recognize the person, huh? Well, better stay here. In this world of temporary bodies, then when the person dies, you can have a picture. But the fear is if you go to the spiritual world, you might not recognize the person, right? Because you don't have that valuable material body. That's the basis of everything, right? Huh? So you don't have to go. Stay here with the temporary material bodies, memories of them, pictures of them, songs about them. What makes you think there's no recognition of individuality on the spiritual platform? Do you think that this material energy is so valuable that you'd be missing something? Srila Prabhupada once described that when you go back to Godhead, you can remember your past material life, but you don't want to. You got better things to do. It's like remembering a bad dream. You can, but you, why? When you're absorbed in unlimited pleasure, why do you want to remember the few seconds you spent in material existence? From the spiritual point of view, your time in a material existence is just a few seconds. They say, who's they? When you say they say,
maybe, I don't know, maybe
not Rajanari. So what is your question? Just ask your question. They say, just say, I would like to know because I have heard or I think. Thank you.
If we are playing
the spiritual world, if you recognize us, Buddha Master, Sankirtan, Bodhisattva. If there is Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, obviously, you'll know everyone. But you'll know them on a much deeper level, the spiritual level, which is much more significant and profound. What's so great about material relationships, they're not very deep at all. Yes. Prabhupada said there'll be ISKCON in the spiritual world. Somehow or other, the relationship with spiritual master is eternal. How that is, you'll find out. The fact is that those whose spiritual master has disappeared still have a relationship which can be even more intense than when he was physically present. So how do you explain that materially? Anything else? Yes. I always talk about that. Just to remind myself. Enthusiastic about what?
About chanting.
Think of something you like to do. What do you like to do? Or what did you like to do? Maybe you like to play tennis or ride horses. You like to ride horses. Right? Until you fell off and hurt yourself, right? That was your thing, riding horses, right? You like horses so much to ride them, you wouldn't even go to parties, right? You just like to ride horses all day. So, have that same approach of enthusiasm to your chanting. Remember how you felt when it was time to ride a horse? So, you should feel that way at least about chanting. Ah, my favorite activity. Now is the time. I just don't have enough time to chant as nicely as I want. I could spend my whole life just perfecting this activity. It's like you used to think horses, horses, horses. Like chanting, chanting, chanting. Connect that enthusiasm energy to the chanting. You can't say you've never been enthusiastic before. It's just been misplaced enthusiasm. All right. Let's see. You need a chanter for tonight to start with, since tomorrow when I was back here. Are you up for it? Come to you, Larry? Okay, you can start off. Who's playing the dungeon? Brother Dan, you're playing the dungeon? We can have two if you can play the game.